Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker, Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hey, hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. It's a really exciting show today. And if anything goes wrong, I'll tell you what, we're just trying our absolute hardest. If you're watching us on YouTube, eventually you're going to want to click the link in the description, because as this show goes on, we're talking not only about new sly Instagram censorship and what might be behind it. Could it be the burgeoning conflict and the escalation of tensions in Gaza? We're not only going to discuss the unique and extraordinary origins of the recent terrorist attack in Russia and the odd idea that there are condolences being offered at the same time as a new type of munition. Let me know in the chat if you think you can guess what type of munition the United States are sending to Ukraine while simultaneously offering condolences for a terror attack and the kind of absurdity of that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry those people were killed in a terrorist attack. Okay, now feel free to use these bombs that will, for generations yet to come, be blowing the limbs off innocent children. The extraordinariness of a collapsing system that will not and cannot make sense because we are being deceived on a global scale. That doesn't mean you should believe every single conspiracy theory that comes your way, but I would always suggest asking yourself these questions. Could they do it? Would they do it? Would you know if they were doing it? These are just some of the questions for you Awakening Wonders in that Rumble chat. I'm talking to you. Yes, you're right. The one that was above Negligent Banana, Carl Rhino, that's frankly racist. And Grammy Yannon, oh, Crowfarch, my bad. Yeah, you're right, Razbender. It's cluster F-bombs. Razbender, this is coming your way. Booby bomb, match pro. No, it's not booby bomb. That's not a real thing. You do not get a mug. And you certainly ain't going to be getting your hands on one of these little gemstones. What would you call that? Pink? Is it salmon? There's 25% off these babies this week. And every single penny we get from it, or the profits of it at least, we will use to help vulnerable people. And who ain't vulnerable in a crazy world that's perpetuating continuous war in every single direction? Who ain't vulnerable when it seems like it's the priority of your current administration to spend time, like, you know, they don't like Donald Trump. So why is Joe Biden even on Truth Social? Why would you be on Truth Social if you don't like Donald Trump? Here he is. Like, this is Donald Trump's post about he's won some awards at a golf night. And what I like about this post is how he capitalizes the points of victory. Awards night, club championship, senior club championship. I won both. Joe Biden looks gone out of his way to go, congratulations, Donald, quite the accomplishment. But that's, in a sense, not acknowledging that this entire presidential campaign is being conducted on a slightly ridiculous level. Digital Hippie says, a war is when two armies are fighting. Fantastic quote from one of your greatest comedians. Let me know in the chat who you think's the greatest ever American comedian while watching your beloved president doing golf.
Okay, you're going to challenge me? All right.
There we go.
Oh! Oh.
Out of pressure there.
Out of pressure.
Lefty.
Southpaw. All
oh
eyes on you.
Oh, my God, look at that.
Look at that form.
Boom! Oh.
Well done, someone's gonna get their head sniffed. If you're in the Awakened Wonder chat right now, let me know if you're into these little guys, and I'm gonna think of a competition so that you can win this thing. I'm gonna sign it, I'm gonna think of a way for you to win it. This is lovely, you'll enjoy this. Kamala Harris, your VP, has been over there in Puerto Rico, like sort of, and she's dancing along to a song, like getting into it and everything, which is sort of adorable. She's a human being, let us open our hearts to each other. But what's really amazing and funny is that the song that was being sung was a vindictive critique of globalism and in particular the American agenda in Puerto Rico. These are the words of the song that she was jiving along to. We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? We want to know, we want to know. We want to know what you think of our colony. Long live free Palestine and Haiti too. Let's have a look at that moment. Let's have a look at it. Let's have a look. Nothing on... I see. It's number four. That's the moment, like, the lady's explaining to her. Oh, they're saying, what are you doing here? What's going on? Free Palestine, free Haiti. Okay, no, I'm not clapping to that. I do not like that. Now, you guys, we asked you earlier, what story do you want us to cover in this increasingly curious world? Do you want us to cover the Russia terror attack and its extraordinary origins and the peculiar way in which the New York Times immediately knew which group it was carried out by and how it definitely could only be them? Do you want that covered? Or we asked whether or not you were interested in Alex Jones referring to events in Gaza as a genocide, or Candace Owens leaving Daily Wire there. We asked you guys what you wanted, and there it is. 65% of you wanted to talk about the Russia ISIS attack. So once we leave YouTube, that's what we'll be discussing. Of course, there's some pretty brutal content included in that, in addition to some extraordinary complexity when it comes to the origins of ISIS that you are gonna love. It's pretty fantastic. Now, what I'm interested in is the measures and manner of increasing censorship. Instagram have just introduced new ways of censoring our content. And what's peculiar is it's being done sort of almost by cover of darkness. Those of you that are Instagram users, I don't go on that platform myself, but we do publish content on there, will have discovered that overnight a new setting has been established. That is, political content has to be selected for. We've all been automatically opted in. They've found a way to make it kind of fiddly to get political content. And as is always the case when it comes to these matters, no one will tell you directly what political content means. It will include social and cultural content. So you could be up on the gram chatting about any old thing and find yourself on the wrong side of political censorship.
Meta, the company that owns Facebook and Instagram, changed your settings overnight without you knowing it.
Yeah, it's now limiting what you see that it considers political content. CBS8's Anna Laurel explains how Meta defines political content and how you can change your new settings.
When I first tried to change my own Instagram settings, it was actually shutting my Instagram app down. So I updated the app and then I was able to update the settings. So you might have to do that first. This political content that Meta says it's now limiting includes laws, elections, and social topics.
Yeah, worldwide farmers protest. You can bet that will be included. Flower Power 678 in the Rumble chat. That means they can essentially select any content at all and say it's political and select against it. They may even decide that certain users are political commentators. I mean, I think I would fall foul of such a critique. Do you imagine that that is possible? If you're watching us on YouTube, we'll be available for another couple of minutes. Then we're going to stride freely to the stream of freedom that we call Rumble. And you might want to consider becoming an Awakened Wonder because you get an additional exclusive video every week. And you're going to love the Chemtrails one this week. I saw someone in the chat before saying, we've not had the Chemtrails video yet. That's because I wanted to make it just right for you. And I use this video not only to talk about Chemtrails, the plausibility of the theory, but also conspiracy theories in general. And we look at the idea of Could they do it? Would they do it? Would you know if they did? That means that new theories will emerge all the time, but we don't need to necessarily jump right into them until they're corroborated. At the moment, if you use the code GodIsGreat, we will give you 1 month free on Locals, where you'll get all of our content, all of our chats, full access to our movement. And let's face it, our agenda now is to create real independence away from a corrupt political class. That's why I think Candace Owen is making her primary home Locals. She's become an awakened wonder. You can join Becca D and Davros 200 and many of our friends like USA Now chatting away beautifully in that chat right away. It's a very, very, very good platform. You'll love it. Now, Instagram may be censoring what it calls political content, and this is a curious time when it comes to conspiracy theories. Many people found the Kate Middleton story cause for fascination, and indeed, latest revelations, and this is directly from Kate Middleton, that she very sadly has cancer. That's obviously extraordinarily sad. All of us at some point will be affected by that disease, if not directly, then tangentially. What's extraordinary, though, is how the legacy media are all corroborating the idea that China, Russia, and Iran somehow were behind propagating these ideas and theories. And it's happened with extraordinary speed. Now, obviously, this being Rumble, of course, there are still theories and ideas that you are free to discuss on a free speech platform. You discuss away, you beautiful people, you. Let's have a look, though, at how legacy media reported on this story. Here's a headline on the subject. China and Russia spreading slurs against the Princess of Wales in order to, it says here, destabilize the nation. Now, you'll be fascinated to see how quickly these ideas gained traction, almost as if there is disinformation and malinformation and propaganda that is utilized by our governments and media conglomerates. Also, look at this from a morning show in our country.
Good morning, Britain. Claims this morning that conspiracy theories surrounding the health of the Princess of Wales are being spread by China, Russia, and Iran to destabilize the nation.
How dare you? How dare you destabilize our nation? Gosh, can you think of all the ways that a nation might get destabilized? Whether it's through the economic mishandling, cack-handedness of our own governments, the propaganda and lies that we're continually told, the inability to control our nations, forces of ordinary people used to police and control our populations. Wow, the least of our problems is China making some stuff up. It reached even, some might argue, certainly newer and perhaps more reliable news stations like GB News. Let me know what you think of that channel.
It's not just the MPs and security and energy that the Russians and the Chinese are allegedly interfering with. According to reports out today, the royal family have also been victim to this. China and Iran are fueling online conspiracy theories and disinformation about the Princess of Wales, according to a report today on the front of the Daily Telegraph.
This information is across all media. We're very interested when legacy media organisations all appear to align with one another. Throughout the pandemic period, we noted the similarity of their funding models, where they accepted advertising from, indeed who they chiefly get their advertising revenue from, and how that might have influenced, for example, their reporting when it came to certain medications that were offered during that period. And on that subject, you will be fascinated to see our conversation with Dr. Ladapo, who is the Surgeon General in Florida and may yet rise to an even more position should things go your way in the US of A, because he's got some extraordinary views, and many of our Awakened Wonder community members got the opportunity to ask him questions. It was a brilliant conversation. You'll love it. You'll see that in the coming days. But if you were an Awakened Wonder, you could have joined and asked questions during it. Let's have a look at a little more legacy news reporting on this subject before moving on to the extraordinary motions, notions, and movements in what we call, I suppose, right-wing media space. For example, you know, Candace Owens has left Daily Wire. She's joined Locals now. Alex Jones has expressed some extraordinarily, what I want to say, interesting views when it comes to events in the Middle East. And we're going to be looking at that in a minute. Mazen Arabi, one, love your work, matey. Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. I hope I said your tag correctly. Let's have a look at one more piece of propagandist coverage of this story, and then we'll move on.
Well, we know that in the past countries have tried to interfere and influence elections. Now it seems that the royal family, and in particular the Princess of Wales, have been targeted as well. Now, there's been a huge amount of support since that announcement, you're saying, on Friday. The vast majority of people in the country, vast majority of people watching, very sympathetic.
A lot of us haven't forgotten Russiagate, where we were fed false narratives by the legacy media almost continually. Many of us will still recall the vilification of Joe Rogan when he had the audacity to mention how he'd personally responded to a personal medical condition. In short, he got COVID and treated it himself. You will remember the amount of propaganda and how hard they lent into ivermectin is a horse paste. Just one uniform global voice parroting the same message. Well, guess what? The FDA now are unable to describe ivermectin as an animal medication by law because it is fake news and misinformation. So if you wait around in these spaces long enough, you will be proved right eventually because the legacy media and their establishment overlords, should we call them overlords, are lying to us. Oh no, not destabilization. By the way, your food prices have doubled, says William B. Taylor. Let's have a little look at this British propaganda for a few more seconds.
I'm very supportive to her, but in the last few weeks, we haven't just had conspiracy theories, have we? There have been very cruel and sometimes very
Someone said bloodbath in the chat. You do not use the phrase bloodbath, okay? That hurts people.
Humane comments. Now, some of these, it is being suggested, the worst of it may well have been originated from fake accounts, from bots, originated from propaganda machines in countries such as Russia, China, and also Iran as well.
Well, you should probably have wars with those countries then. And would you additionally please censor all of our content and control our conversation just to help us? You know, we can't have anything like this happen again. Ah!
Now, what are the countries going to do about it? The government, of course, and our agencies are well aware of this. They are going to take sanctions today against China for separate issues for hacking MPs' accounts. But will all of this put more pressure on social media companies?
You know that at the moment, the US government are lobbying to ensure they still have the right to purchase private data of US citizens as long as it's garnered by private companies to bypass laws around data capture. You know that's happening right now. You know that their intentions around TikTok and possibly even Instagram are more about censorship when it comes to issues relating to war rather than any threats from the Chinese Communist Party when it comes to TikTok. You know that Julian Assange is still in prison without trial in the United Kingdom, awaiting results to see if he's even able to appeal against extradition. So while that fella stands there in front of that castle, we have to acknowledge that propaganda is at least a two-way street.
To intervene as well.
We hope that you'll understand that as a
an individual suffering in that way is sad. Of course it is. Now let's talk about the important subject of Israel and the remarkable impact it's having on right-wing spaces, but culture more broadly. Is it being used to legitimize censorship? And when I say Israel, I don't mean the nation of Israel. I mean current events in Gaza. Let's have a look at Caitlin Johnston's recent post to kick us off. She says, Ben Shapiro cancelled cultured Candace Owens out of a job, and Alex Jones has condemned Israel's genocidal atrocities before most Democrats on Capitol Hill. American right-wing punditry is a trip, man. And that's an interesting perspective, isn't it? To consider that Alex Jones and Candace Owens are to the left of the Biden administration, particularly as we speculate in a video coming later this week. There are ongoing arms deals. We know there are ongoing arms deals that Biden's administration continues to arm Israel, keeping the arms sales at a certain level so they don't have to be sanctioned by Congress. And what if it is because of reporting on Palestine that TikTok are facing sanctions? What if that is the case? Is it possible that that's the case? Candace is, of course, leaving Daily Wire, many assume, although I don't know if Candace has bigger balls than Rose. That woman has got balls. There's no question about that. She got balls of steel. She's a powerful individual. There's a lot of people that are detractors of Candace Owens, but she's not a person who's afraid to speak her mind. And I think that's an admirable quality. Let's have a look at what she said, Russell Fonzie Brand, Slim Feezy. Hey.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you because everybody's noticing it. Every single political commentator in America, every single one of them knows this, that if you do not step out and say things that are radically pro-Israel, or if you are too quiet on certain narratives and they want you to be radically pro-Israel, you can lose everything. That's truth. That is a fact. I'm not feeling like I need to hide from that anymore because, or be afraid to say it, rather, is a better way to say it, because I've endured this for years. I'm just at the end of my rope. I have given so much rope here and I am just done with it.
Okay, so this is her, that was her last episode, actually. She never did any further reporting on Daily Wire. Let's have a look at what she said on her new platform. This is the Awakened Wonder platform, Locals, where our members get additional content, extra videos every single week, and the opportunity to participate in our burgeoning revolutionary force.
Hey guys, it's Candace. The rumors are true. I am free. Welcome to my Locals page. So much to talk about. Obviously, I'm going to take a couple of weeks here just to rebuild and to refocus and to create something that is actually mine and something that can't be threatened or taken because it belongs to me. I can't tell you enough how much your support has meant to me over the years. We're just getting started. Join the Locals page, obviously, here. You can support me and my work as an independent journalist, as an independent podcaster. We're still going to be doing 5 days a week. There'll be tons of announcements coming in the next couple of weeks. And I guess the last thing I want to say is thank you. And for those of you that don't want to be on Locals and just want to support in any capacity, you can head to gocandace.com. Thank you, guys.
There she goes. Let's have a look now on this potentially pivotal moment where Alex Jones has posted this on Israel. I'm going to read this out. Israel has lost the high ground. This is not war. It is robotic, mass genocide. Section 1091 of Title 18, United States Code, prohibits genocide, whether committed in time of peace or time of war. Genocide is defined in 1091 and includes violent attacks with the specific intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. So plainly, these spaces are radically altering fast. New alliances that were starting to coalesce are being challenged. One of the issues that we can all agree on, I'm sure, can we agree on this, is free speech, the ability to disagree, the right for us to dispute and to have our voices aired, the right to choose for ourselves what our perspectives are, the maximum amount of democracy possible. And if you want my personal take, no more war. No more war, no more meddling in other people's nations or other people's disputes unless it is to advocate for peace. No more colonialist, imperialist projects in various forms that destabilize other nations and likely contribute to mass migration. A return to first principles, maximum freedom of the individual, maximum freedom of the family and the community, however you define family and community. The ability for us all to live harmoniously in fully autonomous, independent communities with representation where possible, because it seems that if you had representation and democracy when it comes to the issue of continuing to fund both the Ukraine-Russia war by proxy and the Israel-Gaza massacre by proxy, American people, and in particular, it seems, if statistics are to be believed, Biden voters are not fans. But that's just what I think on that issue. Let me know what you think in the chat. Now, I'm very, very excited. So excited that I almost lost myself to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Sticker Mule. Who don't love Sticker Mule? Because with Sticker Mule, you get your own stickers in any shape that you like, any color. People just don't care what shape or color they are. These stickers are this shape and color, right? Check it out. You can make your own for just $1 and get free shipping. Upload a design, a photo, or a JPEG, and Sticker Mule will make it beautiful. You can make anything. Express yourself. Use your imagination. The stickers will come to you in 4 days after you've seen online proof showing you exactly what the stickers will look like. This can go to get to you wherever you are in the world. Wherever you are in the world, 4 days. You can get 10 custom stickers now for $1. The shipping's free. Go to stickermule.com/Russell Brand to get this deal. If you use my code, it'll make it look like adverts on our channel work, and that's pretty cool for us. Okay, start the countdown. We are leaving YouTube right now. Not forever. If you're an Awakened Wonder there, we will continue to post fantastic videos and you should watch them all. We need your support. But we need you to click the link in the description right now because we are going to talk about this terrorist attack in Russia, its origins, the bizarre hypocrisy of America offering condolences. You will love this piece of reporting. Consider becoming an Awakened Wonder too, where you get an extra video every week, including the chemtrail one that everyone's been talking about and waiting for, and you can join us live with guests. Click the link. See you in a second. Now, when it comes to global war, we know already we are dealing with a complex subject. We know that nations like mine, the United Kingdom, and nations like yours, the United States, went to war with Iraq based on a lie. The lie, of course, being weapons of mass destruction, as well as a tangential and curious connection that was made. That tangential and curious connection that was made was, let's attack Iraq on the basis of these horrendous 9/11 attacks on New York City. But what if those actions have led to the peculiar creation of terrorist entities that are right now potentially conducting atrocities in Moscow? How can we have a time where this happens, where the United States say, we stand with Russia? The United States condemn heinous Moscow attacks and stand with Russia, Blinken says. We condemn terrorism in all of its forms and stand in solidarity with the people of Russia, grieving of life from this horrific event. Right, standard diplomacy, sensible opinion. Or what about this? US strongly condemn deadly terrorist attacks in Russia. Send deepest condolences that we strongly condemn them. We condemn terrorism in all of its forms. And then try to wrap your mind around this fractal reality, because similarly, the US are sending Ukraine more cluster bombs as part of a new $300 million arms package. If you don't know what cluster bombs are, they're sometimes known in the Rumble chat as cluster fuck bombs, because these bombs lie around for ages and potentially could explode generations later, killing, destroying, maiming innocent children. I hope not in a concert hall. As long as in years to come a concert hall isn't built on one of these cluster fuck sites, then you won't have the ludicrous hypocrisy of cluster bombs blowing up people that are innocently attending a festival and the potential problems that that would cause when it comes to hypocrisy. What an extraordinary story. At bare minimum, the CIA participated in the genesis and creation of ISIS, and ISIS are a group that grew out of the Iraq conflict. At minimum, the United States created this problem. How extraordinary to see all of these botched wars aligning and coalescing into one crazy clusterfuck of a perpetual war, where wars from the past and wars yet to happen are starting to combine. Let's have a look at this from Andy Wall. Well, this is just about the $300 million arms package, which you are familiar with. Let's have a look at a little bit of news from the legacy media, video news, I mean. Where is that, mate? Where, I can't see that number. Thank you very much. Let's have a look at... Thank you.
Today was a day of national mourning in Russia for the victims of the terror attack in a concert hall on the outskirts of Moscow. At least 137 people were killed. A branch of ISIS did claim responsibility for the attack. And today, the suspected gunmen were formally charged. CBS's Deborah Pata has the latest.
Investigators surveying the smoldering wreckage of the aftermath of the weekend massacre near Moscow. On Friday night, armed men in combat fatigues burst into the Crocker City Hall, a popular concert venue, and methodically began shooting the audience before setting the place ablaze. Videos posted on social media show people screaming and ducking for cover as the gunmen fired round after round.
Terrifying and awful, as war and violence always are. Isn't it extraordinary to see our nation standing in solidarity with Russia while continuing to arm Ukraine for an adjacent conflict? Now, of course, I understand that commonly Russia are seen as the aggressors and perpetrators of that conflict, but to fully embrace that rather reductive perspective, you have to ignore the actions of NATO countries, NATO itself, US involvement in the 2014 coup, and CIA bases in Ukraine for the last 10 years engaging in what has been described as provocative activity that was likely to lead to war. Here's some extraordinary reporting now. Let's have a look. No, that's not it. It's this. This is what's incredible, that as soon as this story was told, immediately, that's it, leave it there, thank you. As soon as this story broke, the New York Times were able to immediately say that Ukrainian intelligence involvement was not a credible theory. Let's have a look at this and break it down together, because What is the evidence that the New York Times and Washington Post had access to that enabled them to immediately make that claim? The New York Times and Washington Post have promptly initiated a campaign to deny the involvement of the US and Ukraine in this attack. Both outlets immediately dismissed Putin's statement about a connection to Ukraine, citing unnamed US security officials. Okay, could you be a bit more specific? Without providing any evidence, they simply echoed the claims of the White House and Kiev, made almost as soon as the attack occurred, that neither the US nor Ukraine were involved. Now, many of you will have noticed that, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, the US issued a warning that there will be a terror attack. Now, what we need to know is, where did the perpetrators of this terrorist attack come from? And is it possible that they could have any relationship at all with either Ukrainian special forces or US forces? Not to just outlandishly make the claim that there's a conspiracy or potential involvement with the CIA or any other deep state agency, but simply to reflect on the possibility and to note how quickly the legacy media said that it was impossible. How is it possible for the major US media outlets to immediately exclude any connection between this attack and a war raging between Russia and Ukraine with significant US involvement? In fact, their claims have no more credibility than their earlier denial of US and Ukrainian involvement in the bombing of the German-Russian Nord Stream gas pipeline. Oh yeah, do you remember that? That straight away, as soon as that pipeline blew up, they said, well, this is Russia, self-sabotage. They're doing this for attention. Of course, many of us were cynical and were perplexed, as we are, by this extraordinary, anomalous and oddly out of context terror attack, even though it seems that Russia do have, I think, a 10% foreign population, that there are disputes between Russia and former Soviet territories, notably, I think I'm saying it right, Tajikistan, a former Soviet nation that does have insurrectionists and insurgents within them. No doubt Russia has its own version of imperialism and its own version of atrocity. I suppose the question that comes to the forefront is there any history of American deep state sources inspiring, funding rebel insurgents if it was convenient to their own agenda? And indeed, once these claims have once these attacks have been claimed by ISIS, and that's already happened, you have to ask yourself, where did ISIS come from? What were the events that led to the formation of ISIS? This places the burden of proof on them to prove their innocence. The attack has the mark of the CIA and its proxies in Kiev all over it. Let's break that down a little further. Central to the imperialist propaganda about the supposed non-involvement of the US and Ukraine is the fact that ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for the attack. But the involvement of ISIS-K would not disprove Ukrainian and US involvement. On the contrary, ISIS-K is largely a creation of US imperialism and its decades-long wars in the Middle East and Central Asia. In 2021, the Wall Street Journal reported that US-trained intelligence agents and elite counterinsurgency troops were joining ISIS-K in Afghanistan. Tajikistan, from where the suspect terrorists hail, has long been entangled in the armed conflicts in Afghanistan, going back to the 1980s when the US trained and funded Islamist fundamentalists in its war against the Soviet Union. What a tangled and baffling web. There is evidence that the CIA, we all know this in fact, that the Mujahideen received funding from the CIA, that Osama bin Laden at points in his history, due to his group's opposition to the then Soviet Union, received CIA funding. It shows you that when you have a complex interventionist globalist policy when it comes to foreign events and foreign affairs, that you're going to create phantoms for the future and extraordinary problems like this. And by the way, here's the kicker, all of it's funded by the American taxpayer. All of these agencies, all of these insurgencies, all of these events, all of this deep cover craziness is coming from your endeavor that you can somehow trace your toil and graft and the way that you are treated in your nation and the way you are spoken about by your government and its media to events taking place overseas like this. And you better believe that causing this amount of instability in various regions across the world creates the conditions for mass migration. And if your country is unable to manage its borders well, perhaps because funding via the Pentagon is all being hoovered up, vacuumed up into various projects abroad and ending up in the corporate private hands of Raytheon, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, instead of being spent on actual American service personnel who, as we know, are setting themselves on fire in protest against these conflicts, then what you've got yourself is an intergenerational long-term cluster bomb narrative right there. And I changed the word to bomb at the last minute. In this context, the March the 7th warning by the US Embassy in Moscow of an impending major terrorist attack in Russia can only be interpreted as an attempt to create an alibi for the US in the lead up to the operation of its proxies. What a fascinating perspective that is. Now, of course, in spite of the fact that on Rumble we can speak freely and we can say whatever we want, we believe in responsible reporting and, above all else, truth. This is not to say that this is definitely a false flag event, but, you know, Vladimir Putin, he had his suspicions indeed. Which is the link? Putin says this. Let's have a look. Putin links Ukraine to Moscow massacre without evidence. But this is from Politico. And Politico, except funding, I believe, from the military-industrial complex. We'll check that out. President Vladimir Putin on Saturday suggested that terrorists who killed at least 133 people, and may God rest their eternal souls, in Friday night's attack at a Moscow concert hall were helped by someone based in Ukraine without providing any evidence. In the same way that the New York Times didn't provide any evidence that these attacks had no Ukraine involvement. Ukrainian officials have denied any involvement in the massacre for which Islamic State has claimed responsibility. But when you look at the history of Islamic State, you're involved anyway. And I don't mean you, I mean your tax dollars and your deep state, which, by the way, the New York Times are creating propagandist content to tell you is a cuddly, friendly old bunch of Star Trek fans and adorable people with squeaky voices. And there's no need to believe for a second that that's not true. Of course, it's people by human beings with souls, but also they are part of a network that seems to have a pretty specific agenda, and it is not the service of the American people or the people of the world. Ukraine, which has been defending itself from Russia's full-scale invasion for 2 years, what happened immediately prior to that, has repeatedly denied any links to the attackers. There's some evidence, too, that organizations and groups connected to the nations that have their own grievances against Russian imperialism are working out of Ukraine and receive their funding in ways that requires further investigation and analysis. And hopefully over the coming week, we'll be able to bring you that. Remember, this is not the same saying, oh, there's something awry here. This is simply saying, would the New York Times tell you the truth, or would the New York Times amplify the agenda of the powerful? Would the CIA be involved in an operation such as this? Is there any precedent for it, even within this conflict? Are we not in some kind of Avengers Endgame scenario where various characters from various movies, like, oh, here's Black Panther, here's Spider-Man, here's ISIS, here's the Mujahideen, here's neo-Nazis being funded by the American taxpayer fighting in Ukraine? Who knows where this extraordinary mess is going to lead unless we stop intervening in foreign conflicts other than to advocate for peace. It's a novel idea, but maybe it'll get some traction. It has repeatedly denied any links to the attackers. That's Ukrainian deep state. Ukrainian foreign ministry labeling Moscow's accusations as a Kremlin attempt to mobilize Russian citizens against Ukraine and to try to distance the international community from Kiev. You wonder what would be the motive of the deep state in enacting such an event? Well, it would destabilize Russia. It would undermine Putin's position as a defender of national security, and it would create chaos and diversion in the territory. So, obviously, I'm not saying that it did happen. I'm saying it could happen. I'm saying that they would do it, and if they did do it, you wouldn't know yet. So that's simply an open-minded analytical perspective on a complex situation. Well, let me know what you think about this story in the chat right now. As Goddo777 is, same as Putin when he blew up his own pipeline. It's a bloodbath, I tell you. Another goddamn bloodbath. If you want a reminder of how you're reported to, how you're regarded by the state, and how the legacy media will carry their agenda. I've got one word for you. It's ivermectin. Now, while it's still not been proven that ivermectin is effective in the treatment of COVID, no one can make that claim on the basis of clinical trials yet. Certainly those trials are now taking place. What is for certain is that the FDA are no longer able to call it horse paste. So what would CNN, Don Lemon, Brian Stelter, and basically everyone in the legacy media, right the way up to like SNL and regular talk shows, do with that piece of information? It's misinformation now to call ivermectin an animal medication. Let's have a look at that story. So the FDA has agreed to delete and never publish several social media posts suggesting that ivermectin, a drug that some doctors use to treat COVID-19, is for animals and not humans. While the FDA still does not approve of using ivermectin to treat COVID, it settled Thursday a lawsuit brought by three doctors who sued it, as well as the Department of Health and Human Services and its secretary, Xavier Becerra, and FDA Secretary Robert Califf. All parties have settled. The lawsuit filed on June 2nd, 2022 was brought by doctors Mary Tally Bowden, Paul Marrick and Robert Apter, each of whom claimed the FDA was interfering with their ability to practice medicine. The case was initially dismissed on the grounds that the FDA had sovereign immunity, which is weird. Like, where's my sovereign immunity? Where's your sovereign immunity? Though a US Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit reversed the lower court's decision, saying that the FDA is not a physician. Indeed, how could it be one, receiving as it does its funding in such an extraordinary way. Elsewhere, it's been understood now that toddlers may be at risk of seizures if they take the vaccines. That's another story I could have done with being published at the time, although blessedly common sense prevailed when it came to me and my family. So have a look. FDA admits COVID vaccinations lead to significantly elevated risks of seizures among toddlers. Elon Musk there over on X, it should never have been given to little kids. Interesting perspective there. In fact, it makes you cry out for a drug that you can simply enjoy on the forecourt of a gas station, doesn't it? Simpler times where you could just lean back in your truck or maybe drape yourself across the dash of your Tesla and ingest just a little bit of good old-fashioned gas station heroin. And I wonder if those guys will be interested in some sponsorship deals.
Their drinks and pills promising to boost energy, but experts call them gas station heroin.
It's sold as happiness in a bottle. You can find it online.
It's a bold claim, isn't it? Like happiness in a bottle. Already, it's an abstract concept. Happiness perhaps isn't even what we should be looking for. Perhaps purpose would be a better aim for all of us rather than happiness, which seems, I don't know, what a pleasure-derived distraction.
At convenience stores, even gas stations. But experts are sounding the alarm, calling what's in these bottles and pills gas station heroin.
It's scary how available it is, because when you go into the gas stations, it's right up front.
Morgan Eccles says she thought the active ingredient in it, tianeptine, was a safe dietary supplement that might help with her anxiety.
I would never.
Not tianeptine. That guy hung itself in its cell somehow.
Never have bought this had I known at the time what it was.
She says it only took a couple pills for her to get hooked.
It has the potential to destroy anybody.
And that's exactly what this mom says happened to her son.
It's horrible.
All right, it's a bit sad and awful. Someone dies as a result of it.
There's a reason they call it gas station heroin.
Christy Terry says her life was shattered when her 19-year-old son Jonathan died after taking these pills he bought at a gas station. It's sold under names like Neptune's Fix and Tiana Red.
Neptune's Fix? What does that mean? Like Neptune, he's the god of the sea, isn't he? Like, what, with his trident? What's he going to do? Like, why is he being evoked? Poseidon, Neptune, the king of the deep. What's he got to do with heroin? I don't understand it.
But the main ingredient in it, tianeptine, has recently been linked by doctors to serious side effects, including seizures and death.
That's not... Death is not a side effect, is it? Because death is... That's once you're dead, that's no longer on the side. That's not a tangent. What are the side effects? Well, you know, being, the very centre, the crucible of all reality, the quality of God itself. Yeah, that. Well, it does cause that. And also seizures. Does anything else? Does anything else cause seizures? Oh, yeah. In fact, it's time for your booster, baby.
This can be very dangerous because you just don't really know what's in that bottle.
Dr.
Dank01 in the chat, may cause some death. Does cause a little bit of death. You know, it was worth it though, because that was some pretty nice gas station heroin stroke booster shot.
Diane Colello, who runs the New Jersey Poison Center at Rutgers Medical School, says cases of tianeptine poisoning are surging.
It worries me a lot. It's going up across the nation.
Experts say the so-called gas station heroin works like a powerful...
So I'm beat on this show always. Gas station heroin!
...powerful opioid and can be very addictive. We went shopping at several convenience stores around New Jersey and found Tiana Red and Neptune's Fix readily available. The cost? Around $30 a bottle. Now she and this...
Is it an indication that I'm not entirely over my addiction? That I'm like, reasonable?
Grieving...
causes death!
Mothers say they want to see it taken off the shelves.
My son was a healthy 19-year-old that had his whole life ahead of him, and your supplement killed my son.
Products with tianeptine have been banned in 9 states. Makers of Neptune's Fix and Tiana Red did not return our calls.
Okay, well, I do hope that the scrutiny that's been applied to Neptune's Fix and those other peculiar products that tragically brought about the death of that young man, at least it seems, contributed to it, that scrutiny is applied elsewhere to other similarly troubling medications. Now, you might be aware that the legacy media speak on behalf of an establishment class that don't suffer from the same problems as ordinary people, don't live in the same world as ordinary people, and appear to be preparing us for some kind of black swan significant event. But when you hear Vladimir Putin saying that World War III is a real possibility if NATO do employ, do indeed deploy troops to Ukraine, which is, it seems, increasingly likely, you will note that the legacy media seem to be advocating for what appears to be an actual nuclear war. Is it possible that the legacy media and the globalist elites are preparing us for, put them back, for World War III? Now, we're going to put that on. I want to welcome some of our new awakened wonders like Lardog1, Clark24, Lavadu, Ade, and Random Sourdough. I want to welcome all you guys to our community, and I want you to settle down and enjoy an incredible dive into the extraordinary and various ways that Armageddon may yet approach us. Will it be a pandemic? Will it be climate crisis? Or will it simply be a nuclear war? Let me know what you think about this in the chat. Which one's going to get us first? Here's the news? No, here's the effing news.
Thank you for choosing Fox News. Here's the news. No, here's the fucking news.
Just because there hasn't been a nuclear war before, it doesn't mean there can't be a nuclear war now. Especially if NATO keep doing things that Vladimir Putin says will cause him to start a nuclear war. Is it possible the legacy media are trying to acclimate us to a nuclear war as if it's some normal thing that might just happen? They are. We're going to prove it. It's been admitted now that there is a kind of policy that includes the possibility of nuclear war, i.e. we're not behaving how we would have done 30, 40 years ago when it was good old Khrushchev, that great big eyebrow-faced lunatic, or JFK and his Massachusetts drool, acknowledging that missiles being sent to Cuba was a moment that we perhaps ought to step back and reflect a little. Now people are just talking about nuclear exchanges like it's some sort of just something that has to be considered and accepted. Let's have a look at Vladimir Putin talking about what NATO troops in Ukraine actually means, because it seems that we're just trying to edge this and rationalize this, as if you can use rationalism in the same way that rationalism has been used in wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, oh, we can just use language to make it seem like this is not colonial and exploitative and awful and dreadful. Or rationalism, the way that it's used in Israel's current actions in Gaza, just like, oh, it's necessary and there are reasons for it. Yeah, we're actually sort of going mad as a planet, and that madness now seems to include inviting, accepting the potential of nuclear war. Let's have a look at that and radically reprioritize on that basis.
Vladimir Putin also warns the presence of Western troops in Ukraine could trigger a third world war. Putin's remarks come as Europe, particularly France, deliberates on proposal to send boots on the ground to reinforce Ukrainian troops. The Russian president says Moscow's troops were advancing in Ukraine each day. Putin also urges French President Emmanuel Macron to instead seek ways to peaceful solutions.
Maybe it's because like everything seems to move so quickly now. There's such an abundance of media. You might not even be bothered about this story in 10, 15 minutes. You might be watching something about Kate Middleton, or you might be watching something about Elon Musk, all things which have fascinating connotations and can be analysed and deconstructed to within an inch of your life. But if you like think of the last 100 years, which isn't that long in the history of a planet, countries like France and countries like Russia and countries like America and Germany have been involved in wars. And it's been because of disputes that are comparable to the disputes that are happening now. Small regionalized wars in which allies support the smaller of the fighting forces have the potential to escalate. We're literally hiding behind bureaucratic terms and institutions like NATO, pretending that what's happening isn't an escalation of tensions with a major nuclear superpower. So what you would have first thought using common sense when all of these conversations began a few years back, when you hear Joe Biden actually then say, oh, of course we could never put boots on the ground, because that would mean World War III, for Christ's sake. I think that's a literal quote.
We will not fight a war against Russia in Ukraine. Direct confrontation between NATO and Russia is World War III, something we must strive to prevent.
Or when you've heard that NATO have been involved in Ukrainian politics for quite a while, that there are CIA bases there, that we're sending hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of weapons there and sort of pretending that it's like aid rather than the arming of a military in favor of seeking a diplomatic solution, which Vladimir Putin, we all know, is up for under certain conditions, which will obviously be favorable conditions to Russia. But to deny Russia the right to those favorable conditions is to essentially invite the possibility of war. And you and I are not being told the truth about that. In fact, the legacy media seem to be normalizing the possibility of this endless escalation rather than pointing out just how terrifying the situation is.
Russia's European neighbors to the West swiftly criticizing Putin's election victory. Germany's foreign ministry called the polls a pseudo-election that is neither free nor fair. It also said the election in the occupied territories of Ukraine are null and void and a breach of international law. For Britain's Foreign Secretary David Cameron, the illegal elections in Ukrainian territory, the lack of choice for voters, and no independent monitoring is not what free and fair elections look like.
Now might be a good time to tell you that there have been no elections in Ukraine for a little while now, and that all of their media has been centralized, and that Zelensky's done a bunch of deals with like BlackRock and JP Morgan for the rebuilding of the country. And you have to choose your tyranny. I'm like not saying, why would I say that Russia isn't a tyrannical place and isn't using veiled bureaucratic trickery to pretend that there is democracy happening. But actually, even as I hear myself saying those words, I think, oh my God, the same thing's happening in your country and my country. We're doing it everywhere. The same sets of institutions that hold power will remain unaffected by the outcome of any election. That's how it works, isn't it?
Macron keeps saying about possibility of sending French European troops to Ukraine, and that's a matter of concern for the European nations. How do you think the full-fledged conflict between Russia and NATO, is it possible? And how probable is it?
At this point, I just would pause to invite you to consider, do you think that you, if you are French or if you are American or if you're Finnish or Swedish or whatever, should be involved in whether or not your country uses your money to escalate tensions with Russia? Or do you think there should be some kind of referendum where they go, hey, listen, Putin's actions in Ukraine are continuing. He does say that there is a peace deal available, but it will, of course, involve territorial secessions along the lines that Russia would have sort of offered at the beginning. Do you really care about that more than you care about, for example, having a house and having children and pets? Oh, no, I care about democracy in Ukraine. I think they should have it there, and I think they should have democracy in Russia. But what I really, really, really care about is having a house and a cat and streets and like breath and trees and everything. So I'm going to vote for stop having wars and provoking the shit out of someone with nuclear weapons. And every time they go, he's a madman, he's a tyrant, I'm like, yeah, leave him alone.
Well, I think everything is possible in the modern world. And as I said before, and it is clear to everyone that this will be one step away from a full-fledged World War III. I do not think anyone is interested in this.
Their only answer to that kind of rhetoric is, oh, he wouldn't do that, he's only bluffing. And elsewhere, they provide a context of Putin as a madman, in the same way that they say Trump is a madman, in the same way that they say Tucker Carlson is a madman, or Elon Musk is a madman, or anyone who's a threat to the institutional globalist powers that truly dominate countries like yours and mine. They have no answer or any suggestion that they could improve or change the way that they govern the world. That's not up for discussion. The only thing they can do is double down on that guy's mad, these guys are mad and racist, and we're having these wars. Why? Because of protecting the vulnerable. It just doesn't actually make any sense.
It is up to them. Ultimately, if someone wants to cover their internal political problems with this kind of rhetoric, well, that's a well-known trick that is being used quite often.
Sometimes I extract the critiques of Putin from what Putin is saying, i.e. do people use war to palliate and distract domestic populations? Yes, that's been acknowledged. We know that that's what like the Gulf War and Falklands War are about. In particular, I'm talking about in UK politics, Vietnam War, Korean War. Of course they do. War is a good distraction. So whether you think Putin is crazy and a warmonger or not, and let's just say, yeah, he is, like, that doesn't mean that that's not true. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be involved in our nation's policies when it comes to the provocation of Russia and escalation of conflict with them.
I wouldn't want to see France playing this role of exacerbating, escalating, provoking the conflict.
Me and him.
I would like to see it more discussing possible peaceful solutions, something that the other journalist has been speaking about, so they can play their role. Not everything is lost. But I would like to end with the words of gratitude to the Russian people, to the Russian voters. Once again, I would like to emphasize, we will do everything in our power to accomplish the goals of the national development in all areas. Thank you. Goodbye.
God, he ends his speeches abruptly, didn't he? He's like the opposite of Joe Biden. It's like he's still talking. He's like, whoa, whoa, Vladimir, where are you going? Joe Biden will be wandering around for another couple of minutes there. So there you go, a clear threat of potential nuclear war in countries like France and the UK, which are sort of easier, I imagine, to hit with nuclear missiles than Missouri or Memphis or Massachusetts. So, you know, if you are English watching this, you might want to think about what your position is. So how do the legacy media make the prospect of nuclear war appealing, as if it's, I don't know, air fryers? Yeah, it's a new thing, nuclear war now. You can cook your chicken in this. Oh, my teeth. On Sunday, the New York Times published an article by David Sanger titled Biden's Armageddon Moment, When Nuclear Detonation Seemed Possible in Ukraine. The article documents extensive and far-reaching discussions within the Biden administration in late 2022 regarding the possibility of the war with Russia turning into a nuclear conflict. Sanger reports that the Central Intelligence Agency told Biden that under a singular scenario in which Ukrainian forces decimated Russian defensive lines and looked as if they might try to retake Crimea, a possibility that seemed imaginable that fall, the likelihood of nuclear use might rise to 50% or even higher. When you think about the language around climate change and the environment and measures that may or may not be deployed for the preservation of the planet, which I'll note here always seem to involve the persecution of ordinary people rather than institutional changes in massive corporations and elites not using the privileged means of transport that they often use. It's climate change and the environment are spoken about sort of in almost hysterical terms. Here, the potential for the chance of there being a nuclear war raising by 50%, which was sort of like people like chewing pencils, like, yeah, I suppose that is a lot more likely. Seems like the threat of Armageddon should be discussed in the same sort of way, regardless of what's causing it. He reported that the Biden administration was making urgent preparations for a US reaction to a Russian nuclear detonation. So in private conversations, top secret, to which we are not privy, they go, so what if there is a nuclear war? Well, obviously we'll be okay because we got bunkers in Hawaii, but, you know, we'll win it. We'll win it. And in the post-nuclear war environment, by God, we'll thrive. I mean, how long does that guy want to live? An article written by Sanger, a longtime mouthpiece for the US military and intelligence agencies, is less a news article than the controlled release of information by the US intelligence agencies. The purpose of this article is to acclimate the public to the possibility of the war becoming nuclear. It is also an attempt to place the onus on Russia. You started it. It's your fault there's a nuclear war. It's not children anymore, like someone's pulled someone else's hair and then they've been kicked in the shins or whatever. This is, but you've ruined everything. Everything. A I mean, unless there is an Atlantis, and unless there have been previous civilizations lost and long forgotten, this has been an uninterrupted ascent from the Garden of Eden, and you've spoiled it. Proud of yourself.
Yeah, sorry.
It is also an attempt to place the onus on Russia when it is, in fact, the US and NATO powers that are engaged in a massive escalation of the war, potentially involving the direct deployment of NATO troops to Ukraine. We can't make this content without your love and support, and without the support of our sponsors, who we always select on the basis of effective products, like today's. Have you noticed that recently clusters of respiratory illnesses in northern China and what's been referred to as white lung syndrome in the United States are scattered across the headlines? This hashtag white lung. They're drawing attention, I believe, to the importance of being prepared for medical emergencies. With close to 90% of pharmaceuticals in the US being produced outside of the country, what will happen when the inevitable next global crisis strikes? Countries will clamp down on exports. They'll stockpile. The price of drugs will rise, and the pharmacy shelves in America, they say, will empty. Is it already starting to happen? Well, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit has got you covered for times like this. The Wellness Company is home to Dr. Peter McCulloch and Dr. Drew Pinsky. They've both been guests on our show. They're truth-telling doctors who are empowering you to take control of your health. 40% of Americans say they would avoid a doctor or hospital unless it was a catastrophic situation. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit provides a solution. This handy little kit includes 8 potentially life-saving medications for you, along with a guidebook for safe use, emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics to keep you and your family safe in the face of natural disasters, supply chain shortages, or medical emergencies like white lung or COVID. Go to twc.health/brand and grab your medical emergency kit right now. That's twc.health/brand. Code brand saves you 10% at checkout. So if you use the code brand, you'll get 10% off. Don't wait until it's too late. Take control of your health with the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit. Thank you. Now, let's get into this. Over the past 2 weeks, 4 NATO countries, France, Canada, Lithuania, and the Netherlands, have stated their openness to sending NATO troops to fight Russia in Ukraine. On Saturday, they were joined by Poland, whose Foreign Minister, Radek Sikorski, declared that sending troops to Ukraine was not unthinkable. It sort of is, though. It sort of is unthinkable. I mean, if what they were saying is true, that Putin's war with Ukraine is not a regional dispute provoked by the 2014 coup and impingement by NATO on former Soviet territories, but it's the beginning of a campaign to sort of go west and take over the world, then and only then would you say, oh, well, we can't yield to this madman. And I suppose that's why they're trying to portray him in that way. But anything other than an inevitable Russian plan for total domination of the globe means that peace and diplomacy would be favourable. And I've not seen anything from our side, actually, or theirs, that suggests that Russia are planning to take over. There's no evidence for that. There's no evidence for that. It's the same as, like, there might be interdimensional beings that are dominating. Yeah, but it's difficult to corroborate. You've got to corroborate that. Is Putin trying to take over the world? Or is it more likely that he's being used as a bogeyman to legitimize authoritarianism in our own nations, as Putin actually suggested in his own speech? These statements were accompanied by the release of a recording of a discussion by members of the German military of the prospect of using German long-range weapons to carry out strikes on Russian territory, as well as leaks from Germany that Britain were deploying troops in Ukraine already, which amounts to another escalation of these tensions. And in fact, because Ukraine couldn't continue this war without NATO support and without US financial support, ultimately that is the determining and deciding factor. So already there is a war between NATO and the US, because if you took the US and NATO out of it, the war would be over. So that's just logic, isn't it? And reason. So we're already in this war, and what we're witnessing now is the slow incremental inculcation of normalizing it, so that we just go, oh, well, we're just in this nuclear war now. Bloody Putin. The immediate context for these actions is a series of disastrous setbacks for the Ukrainian war effort, raising the prospect of a total collapse of the Ukrainian army without direct NATO intervention. So it's no longer support for Ukraine. Ukraine, of course, can't win a war against Russia in the same way that Mexico couldn't win a war against America, even if you were to legitimize some conflict of that nature by saying, well, you know, the way that California and Texas were taken, that's not really fair, is it? And the way that migrants are treated, and maybe, you know, you could come up with some reason to have wars and to support it. And what if people started to support Mexico? I mean, how would that go? As a recent article in Foreign Affairs warns, without a surge in Western military aid and major changes to Kiev's strategy, Ukraine's battlefield position will continue to worsen until it reaches a tipping point, possibly by this summer. In other words, NATO has a window of just a few months to avoid a precipitous collapse of the Ukrainian military. Sanger's article admits that in 2022, under conditions where the Russian military was facing a series of setbacks, the US evaluated that it was entirely possible for Russia to use nuclear weapons to improve its military position. But it is NATO and the United States that now find themselves on the back foot, suffering serious defeats. If the Biden administration believed that Russia would use nuclear weapons in order to forestall military defeat, is that any less true for the US and NATO? In a critical passage, Sanger writes, "The wargaming at the Pentagon and think tanks around Washington imagined that Mr. Putin's use of a tactical weapon involved a demand from Moscow that the West halt all military support for the Ukrainians. No more tanks, no more missiles, no more ammunition. But this is precisely the position that NATO is driving Russia to take by planning to deploy NATO troops to Ukraine. Every escalation by NATO raises the pressure for the Russian government to set an explicit red line to be enforced by the threat to strike NATO territory or use nuclear weapons. The NATO powers recognize the very real danger that the conflict in Ukraine could develop into a nuclear war, but they are taking no measures to avoid escalation. Instead of discussing negotiations that could avert this catastrophe, they are continuing to pursue a policy that could well result in a nuclear conflict with Russia. Having feared that nuclear apocalypse could break out in 2022, the Biden administration and its NATO allies are now escalating the war to the point where that scenario becomes more likely than ever. So for some time, it seemed possible that a conflict that even involves Russia has the potential to escalate to the point where it could be deleterious, decimating for the entire planet. That seems to remain likely, and rather than acknowledge that likelihood explicitly through legacy media, it seems that the chosen path is to normalize that prospect and even suggest that it will be possible for NATO and the US to strike first in an escalating conflict that now plainly could be said to be between NATO, using the vassal of Ukraine, and Russia, who have their own territorial and potentially even imperialist intentions towards Ukraine, to whom I could not be more sympathetic, and even my glibness should be couched that I personally am putting the country that I live in and my own interests ahead of Ukraine's, particularly given that in a nuclear war, all Ukrainians would also die. So surely what all reasonable people ought to be demanding is actual independent referenda in our own nation so we can decide whether we want the funding of this war to continue or whether we want our nation's persuasiveness, particularly that of the United States of America, to be deployed in pursuit of peace. A peace that was apparently available 2 or 3 years ago, but that the United States and the UK in the figure of Boris Johnson scuppered for reasons that I still don't fully understand, because things haven't been great for Ukraine since then. They've suffered more annihilation, more death, the decimation of their army, the desecration of their towns and provinces and culture and standing in the world. So I don't know who is benefiting. But this in a context where we start to get the sense that authoritarianism is using crisis to legitimize more centralized power, to legitimize more censorship, to legitimize more control, makes a kind of vague overall sense in terms of the more there is crisis, the more there is fear, the more there is the reason to bend towards authority, to be subdued, to lose your own sort of personal sense of sovereignty and freedom. And it's only using sort of intuition as well as common sense when it comes to the matter of Russia's nuclear capacity that I can even understand this, because from the legacy media, what we're given is something like a sort of haiku of misinformation and propaganda that's leading us increasingly, it seems, towards nuclear war. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments and chat. Remember, click the link in the description, support our movement if you can, but more important than that, please stay free. Many switching, switch on, switch off, switch off. Many switching, switch on, switch off, switch off. Many switching, switch on, switch off, switch off. Many switching.